welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show, and we are live on 97.1 Free FM. Sitting here on this Thursday evening, waiting for Robin to do her news, everybody.
Yeah, man. Hi, Robin.
Hello.
Now.
C-74.
Live from high atop the Miracle Mile, here's Robin with the news.
All right. Yeah. What's happening in that news, Robin?
Well, first and foremost, former President Bill Clinton showed that he was not to be interrupted today as he was caught on tape putting an obnoxious heckler in his place while giving a speech. And we have some audio of this. B-169.
All right. He's been told not to do this. Didn't Hillary?
Yeah, Hillary.
Slap him around for doing this?
The campaign, they wanted him to kind of, you know, keep quiet. But he was doing some event and some guy started screaming at him about 9/11 or something.
What are you screaming about? Let him talk. Are you one of those that was an inside job, guys? Well, let me tell you something. The great thing, first, Hillary agrees we should end the war.
He works that in.
See, he's slick.
But we've heard from you now. Now you hear from me. I'll let you be rude and interrupt me. Scream at the top of your lungs.
That's right.
9/11 was not an inside job. It was an Osama bin Laden job with 19 people from Saudi Arabia. They murdered 3,000 Americans and other farmers, including over 200 other Muslims. And we look like idiots, folks, denying that the people who murdered our fellow citizens did it when they are continuing to murder people all around the world. So we heard from you. You go away.
You go away.
We heard from you. You go away.
That's it.
That's right.
Over.
Well, hold on a second. What you doing? You're rude to me. I'll let you be rude to me. Sean, I'll be rude to you. If you were a former president, wouldn't you just kind of play golf and just kind of hang out?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's out there.
Enough of this.
Yeah, screaming at people.
People yelling at him. He's yelling at people. He's probably so pissed that his wife is running for president.
I think just the opposite. I think he's thrilled about it.
No, I think the person on this planet who wants Hillary Clinton to lose more than anybody else is Bill Clinton.
Oh, I disagree with you.
She could destroy that great relationship.
Oh, yeah, relationship.
She could destroy his reputation as well.
Well, not his legacy. He'll have his own legacy. Every president is. You know why?
That's a great relationship.
It is a great relationship. It's a beautiful relationship. It's really a beautiful thing, what they have going there.
You know, very romantic.
Those two kids, what they have going there. But the legacy of Bill Clinton, you know, is separated by 8 years of George Bush. So they'll have very separate legacies.
Nah, they won't.
Yeah, because hers will be post-Iraq and his was pre-Iraq. So she'll be fine.
Here's how I see it. I see Obama winning. Hold on a sec. I see Obama winning, becoming the next president of the United States. I see Hillary's vice president, and I see Bill Clinton sitting in that, living in that vice president's household as the first male vice president. President, first lady type.
I think you're wrong. At the Kodak Theater tonight, where your boy was there, Rob Reiner.
Oh, yeah.
They were asking, they asked them, the last question was, a lot of people would love to see this ticket, you know, and the place went crazy, an Obama ticket or a Clinton-Obama ticket. And Barack Obama had a funny line. He said, well, you know, there's a very important distinction between those two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whose name comes first.
Yeah.
I think you're more likely to see Clinton Obama. I never believed that, but after the debate tonight, I seem to think that might be a possibility.
You think so?
Well, I'm not married to that idea, but I seem to think it's a possibility. Look, I want Bill back, and I'm not BSing anybody. I'm voting for Hillary because I like Hillary; she's decent. But I want him back in the mix. I love that dude.
All right, well, good luck. All right, what else is happening in the news there, Robin?
Well, the Donald made yet another TV appearance today as he was a guest on the Tyra Show with Tyra Banks. And, of course, the subject of his arch-enemy, Rosie O'Donnell, came up. Here is the Donald speaking about her yet again as Tyra tries to get him to apologize. T-123.
All right, Donald Trump. Got to hear from this guy again.
Have you guys ever been friends, you and Rosie?
Well, we were friendly enough. I mean, I did her show. Can you believe it? I did her show years ago.
Did you regret anything that you said?
No.
Anything? Not even the fat thing?
I don't remember calling her fat. But
can
that
you at
was
least
not,
apologize
no, no,
to girls that are overweight and like
oh,
apologize
well,
to them?
No, no, we don't have to apologize. We're all overweight. Who isn't overweight?
Oh boy.
You know, it's so unbelievable, Tara, that you'd bring me on here and try to drag an apology out of me. It's not going to happen. How can you sit next to Tyra Banks and say we're all overweight?
Well, Tyra Banks and this guy Donald Trump, who's looking at that?
Women at home during the day.
But they still want to hear what these folks are saying,
sure,
huh?
They booked Donald Trump, you know, and, you know, absolutely, I don't remember calling her fat, but we're all fat. I mean, I'm overweight, you're overweight. You're Tyra Banks, you're a supermodel, you're overweight, everybody's overweight. But by the way, Tyra, I want to do a quick shout-out to Philip Van Heusen. I decided about 6 months ago to get Philip Van Heusen to put together some unbelievable shirts and ties. And
how about her wanting him to apologize to all the fat women around the world?
Well, because she's the girl's girl, you know, that's her. She has cast herself, Tyra Banks, as like, you know, the girl's girl. She's going to get an apology from the man.
But if you're a fat woman and you heard Donald Trump said, I apologize to all fat women, would that make you feel better about yourself?
Now, especially if you were sitting in the audience there at the Tyra.
Do you enjoy that?
No. But if imagine you're at the Tyra Banks show, you're sitting in the audience and you're a fat chick. And by the way, I bet there's a few. And that subject comes up. I mean, how uncomfortable did Tyra make her own studio audience, if there is one? I assume there is.
All right. Anything else going on in the news there, Robin?
Well, yes. When Anna Elisa Fattori arrives at work, the first thing she does is take off her clothes.
Oh, boy.
Fattori is a professional nude model working at Rome's Art Academy.
What's his name again?
Anna Elisa Fattori.
Woman, I believe.
Yes. She is one of about 300 people in Italy who does this job, but only 50 of them have full-time contracts. She makes the equivalent of about $1,500 a month, and that is why she and others recently went on strike, demanding a full-time wage for work they say not everyone can do. Here is Fattori speaking out about why not everyone can do this job. N-164.
All right, N-164, the nude models in Italy, man, on strike.
It's a tough job. It doesn't seem to be, but, you know, try yourself. Mm. Put yourself in the front of the mirror and then stay for a long time in a pose. Then you'll start to feel, my back is, something's wrong here. What's wrong? And you have to move. It's not so easy because you are naked. So you have to be very comfortable with your body and have a nicer relation with everybody, but not too open, not too close.
She sounds like like Ali G, like a female.
I have a joke. There is a chair. The chair walk.
Do you like it?
With the shoes.
Porno.
La 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 la. You walk on the street. He's walking.
Sexy time.
Yeah. You know, she's in the wrong building if she wants $1,500, more than $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
She's stripping in a museum.
Yeah, public venue.
To a strip bar and you'll double or triple that salary, baby.
Well, it depends. I mean, I'd hold out numbers before we see the look. Robin, have you seen the look?
I haven't, but I'm sure she's lovely.
The voice is rather irritating, though.
It's a tough job. It doesn't seem to be, but, you know, try yourself. Put yourself in the front of the mirror and then stay for a long time in a pose. Then you'll start to feel, my back is, something's wrong here.
My back is a sore.
That's kind of hot. The grunting is kind of hot.
My name is Bora.
Bora.
Sexy time.
Back is sore.
I think he might
Do you like a porno?
I think he might. Borat might get into sexy time with this chick.
Yeah. Sexy time.
Sexy time.
All right. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Well, yes.
I like you.
Finally, having a tornado demolish her house was not bad enough. When Anne Beam received a $2,000 cable bill a few weeks later, she was floored.
Wow.
Time Warner Cable billed a number of Wheatland residents for equipment destroyed in the January 7th twister that struck the southeast corner of the state.
Wow.
And she immediately called the cable company, but a man who identified himself as a manager said there was nothing the company could do. And we have exclusive audio from the security cameras at Time Warner when she went in and attempted to argue her bill. C-47.
All right. C-47. Time Warner, man. They want their money back.
I talked to them today. They do like to get paid.
Yeah, they do. Well, pay them.
I did.
Did you have a tornado out in Toledo?
There was no tornado, but I
was a little late on the bill.
I had to get to them.
Welcome to Time Warner Cable, and how can I help you today, Miss Bean?
Hi. Actually, I just came in because I'm really, really upset. I have a bill
here for $2,000, and I won't get into it. I've been through a lot this week. Can you see what's wrong with this? I think the decimal's in the wrong place.
Let me just look this up for you. Oh, well, I see that you damaged $2,000 worth of cable boxes and remotes. So that's what the bill is, $2,000.
No, you don't understand. I didn't damage anything. The twister that ripped through my entire town and destroyed everything I own damaged those cable boxes and remotes.
But the cable boxes were in your house, right?
Well, yeah, but my house was destroyed. Everything I own was destroyed from the tornado.
Miss Beam, they were in your house.
Sir, all I want to tell you is that I'm not paying a bill for $2,000 when the tornado was the thing that destroyed them, not me.
Well, they were in your house.
Do you have a manager?
I'm the manager.
That's great.
Okay, I'm going to explain this one more time. A tornado ripped through my house and destroyed the cable boxes. I didn't destroy them. Is there anything you can do to work with me on this bill?
No, because the cable boxes were in your house.
Okay, well, can you please put me on a payment plan or something?
You know what? I think we're going to need this up front.
That's the way it is dealing with corporate America.
Oh, my gosh.
You tell them one thing, and they have their line in the sand.
Did you think the customer was maybe in her period, Tim?
I don't know. It sounded like it, though. But I understand. I mean, you know, if... your house gets ripped by a tornado.
Yeah.
They should look the other way.
Well, no, I will tell you something. If you've ever moved, and a lot of dudes have moved from an apartment, wherever you go, you know, house to an apartment to a house, wherever, apartment to an apartment, they're obsessed with those cable boxes. They have to get those cable boxes and those remotes. And sometimes you got to sit there for hours waiting for the dude to come to the house just to hand him the effing box. It drives you nuts. It has driven me nuts in the past.
Yeah, I know. And that's why, you know... you just got to eventually, you know, you got to watch those things. Like I had misplaced one of my boxes from Dish Network or DirecTV, and they're going to charge me like $300 for the box that was misplaced in the move.
Right.
And I said, but you guys don't even use these boxes anymore. And they said, okay, well, just how about $10?
Really? You talked him down $290?
But they don't even use them anymore. It's from 8-9 years ago. I told the guy. I said, it's 10 years ago. You don't use these effing boxes
anymore.
You're a
very shrewd
negotiator.
He goes,
all right, well, let me see. And he looked up the year. He goes,
$10. All right.
So I gladly paid it. Anything else in the news, Robin?
Oh, that's what's happening.
Robin with the news, yeah. Everybody.
From America Mile in Los Angeles.
Here she goes.
Robin with the news.
Yeah, Robin, man. All right, I got good news for everybody. Maybe not so good news for younger listeners.
Oh. B25. Say 14.
Listen to this. Aging is really depressing until you get to age 50.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious, Dougie. That's the big study. The biggest risk for midlife crisis is not divorce or ill health or losing your job. It's merely the act of aging itself. Hmm. According to new research published in the current Journal of Social Science and Medicine magazine, and I guess that comes out of Canada, whether you're in Canada, Mexico, or Malaysia, most of us bottom out in our 40s, describing ourselves as unhappy or even depressed.
But I'm doing that in my 30s.
Yeah, we may be able to get it out of the way, and by the time you're 40, you'll be like you're 50, and you'll be thrilled to death. I don't see it happening, but it's a possibility.
Thank you, doctor.
But here's the good news. We bounce back and describe ourselves as happier in our 50s, 60s, and 70s.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, Tim. I tend to believe that's true because people get crazy, especially dudes over there. We both have a friend who just turned 50. And, you know, people, especially dudes, fret over their 50th. It's like, oh, F, I'm 50. But when you're 60, people don't do that. Or when you're 55, people don't do that. It seems that the 50th birthday is the last birthday where there's all this, you know, oh, F this, you know, going on. You know, people seem to get used to the fact that they're north of 50 and they just take the birthdays as they come after 50.
Now, you're 35, right?
I am.
Do you think you're in the second half of your life yet?
Yes, I do believe that.
You do?
Yes, I do believe that.
So you don't believe 70. You believe 70, you're done.
I don't know that I'll make 70.
Really?
Well, I'm not very healthy. You know, I'm not very healthy.
I think 70 is pretty easy nowadays, isn't it?
I would think so. But you know, if I could get into my 60s, maybe, I think of my grandfather. I think of Pop-Pop, who at 80 years old, went to bed one night and just went to sleep.
And that guy drank every day, didn't he?
Excuse me, Tim. What in the world?
Didn't you say every day after noon?
What I said about him. Please, this is Pop-Pop you're talking about.
I know. We'd have a shot in the beard.
That's exactly right.
Every day.
Well, certainly on the weekends when I saw him.
Right.
I don't know what happened on Monday through Friday out in New Jersey.
But on Saturday and Sunday.
Certainly. Especially Sunday after church, you know. And, right. and he couldn't do it until noon. And he would say to my mom, who he called Peanut, because she was so little when she was a baby, say, Peanut, what time is it? She'd go, oh, Dad, it's just 5 minutes. I'll bring you one.
Do you think a guy who's looking at a clock saying it's 11:55 a.m. on Sunday, don't you think we can maybe squeeze one out here?
Yeah.
Do you think he might be enjoying during the week as well?
Yes. I'm not going to deny it. And
he's 88?
No, he lived to 80 on the nose.
80, really?
And we had a beautiful birthday party for him, his 80th birthday party in April. And then he passed away the following January.
Oh, boy.
And he just went to bed at 80 years old. And that was, you know, that was the way that he rolled. And you know what? He did. He did drink. But I never saw him drunk. I never saw him angry. I never saw him raise his voice. And I'll tell you one sweet thing about my grandfather. You want to hear a sweet story about grandparents? I love my grandparents.
I do too.
Love your grandparents too. My grandfather said to me once, my pop-pop said to me, I said, how are you doing, pop-pop? How do you feel? You know, when I'd see him, I'd go home. Always go over and sit with him. And he said, I feel pretty good. He said, Brian, I want you to know, you know, you're out there in California. He said, but I want you to know that that I pray for you every night. When I say my prayers, I pray for you every night.
Wow.
He said, and I pray for your mom and dad and for all of my grandchildren. He said, but sometimes I wake up and I feel really bad. I said, Papa, what's to feel bad about? And God bless him, he said, sometimes I fall asleep before I finish. And I said, "I said, don't worry about that.
Yeah, everybody's fine.
Isn't that? I said, everybody's
okay. That's pretty good.
A sweet man, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, gang, here's the question, maybe for some of our audience who, you know, we do have a big, diverse audience out there.
Yes. Well, Los Angeles is diverse. I was reading a book last night about California and how diverse it is.
Yeah. At what age does life start getting better? I know it's great, like right after high school, in college, when you're young, you're 20, nothing can hurt you. And then it starts to get depressing because you get into corporate America. They beat you down a little.
Yep.
Health issues. You're not as, you know, as fast as you used to be. You're not as beautiful as you once were.
The sex is not as hot.
Right. But when does it start getting better again? Is it 45? Is it 50?
Well,
according
to this survey, once you get north of 50, once you get over the fact that you're 50 and you say, all right, F it. I'm over 50 now. I'm 51. I'm 52. I don't care. I'll be 60 soon, and then I'll be dead. You know, people don't care anymore, I don't think, once they get past 50.
All right. Here's the number, gang. What is the magic number? When do you start feeling better again? According to the survey, it's age 50. Once you hit 50, life gets easier. Is that true? 520-9710, big study, saying that once you turn 50, once you reach big 50, life becomes a little better for you. 520-9710. And 888-520-9710. This is the Conway and Whitman Show. How's your 50s? We're live at 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live at 97.1 Free FM. New study out saying life gets easier.
Yeah, man.
And more fun once you turn 50.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that?
I don't know. I think life probably becomes less stressful when you stop worrying about things like age. You know, if you don't worry about 40.
Right.
Then 40's not going to be a big deal. If you don't worry about 30, 30's not going to be a big deal.
Right. Well, it says 44 is the low point for men and women.
How old are you?
In the United States. I'm 44. So I'm at my low point right now. Hey, if this is as low as it gets, I'm skating.
Right. You're fine. See that?
I should be depressed out of my mind and angry as F right now.
Well, the second part.
Mm. In the United States, women reach it at 40. Look at that. Oh, I see. In Britain, 44 is the low point for men and women. In the United States, women reach it at 40, and men hold out until they're 50. Ah, F. I got to move to Britain.
Well, no, that won't change anything, Tim. It's,
sure it would.
No, I don't think so.
Because I'd be hanging out with other happy 45-year-olds.
Well, that might be true.
You know?
The company you keep.
Yeah, I bet that's who I'd attract in London, right?
Right.
Getting with a very positive, upbeat, happy
yes.
crowd.
And the socialites.
Yeah. People that wake up giggling. Somebody told us that. I was with Doug Steckler at Farmer's Market. This is about 10 years ago. And we ran into a friend of ours who does commercials. And you would recognize this guy.
Right.
He does a lot of commercials. He was doing commercials for Cadillac at the time. And I said to him, I said, hey, how's it going? He goes, I wake up giggling every morning.
Oh, my God.
Happy as hell.
I'd want to hit that guy in the head.
And I thought to myself, I've never woken up happy like that.
Right.
Unless I was still buzzed from the night before.
Right. Wake up outwardly giggling?
Yeah, just happy as hell. Can't wait to get up and start your day.
Oh, God. I that is so foreign to me that I actually wake up. You know, and this is a terrible thing. But usually the first thing I say when I get up is, I wake up. Right, my eyes open, I roll over once or twice, and then I do this as I roll to get out of the bed and put my feet on the ground. As I roll, God damn it.
And there it goes.
And then I get
the
up.
Start to that day.
I get up and I hear my knees crack and I'm 35. And I
go, oh, Bob Boom.
Oh, Bob Boom.
All right, when does it get easier, gang? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Keith and Ventura, you're on 97.1. How you doing, dude?
Hey, bros. You know, I'll tell you what happened with me. It all kind of hit everything all at once. And it was when I was 49, I had a minor heart attack on Thanksgiving.
Oh, boy.
Wow, and, a lot of tryptophan.
Yeah, from the tryptophan, exactly. And so then I really had to start to get in touch with my own mortality.
But when you say a mild heart attack, did you drive yourself to the hospital?
Oh, yeah. I actually had the heart attack on Thanksgiving and went to the doctor like 2 days later and told him what had happened because I thought it was indigestion.
Oh, I see.
And by the way, I don't know that tryptophan causes heart attacks. I just said that.
Oh, no, no, no. I know. But it might have been the Vicodin that I took, too. But
could have been the in-laws.
But then I had an office job, too, where I was working in an office, and I quit that job, and I changed my career and started driving a truck.
That's cool.
That works
And just got out of the whole corporate environment and got in a truck and saw America, and that kind of helped it out.
Were you married at the time?
Oh, yeah. I've been married for 12 years. No kids. Beautiful wife. Super great gal.
Super duper great gal, man. I'm married.
Super,
my wife is
super.
Super duper gal.
That's
yeah,
pretty cool.
She's fine, man. I met her.
Are you gone for five, 7 or 8 days at a time?
5, 7, 8 days at a time, what?
Driving the truck.
Oh, yeah. I was out for 2-3 weeks at a time.
See, that's what makes the heart grow fonder, absence, right, Rick?
Well, you know what? Actually, I do want to point this out to you. And by the way, Keith, are you kissing in Ventura right now?
Yes.
Great to have you listening. One thing I have learned, and I've learned a few things, but absence makes the heart grow absent. Don't you know that, Keith? I mean, it really is the truth. And by the way, if you have something bad to say, say it. And if you have something good to communicate, write it.
Two good tips.
Did you get that, bud?
Yeah.
All right, Keith. Thanks so much for the call. Let's get right into the Material Girl. She is so talented. Going to be performing, too, at the Forum. Cannot wait to see Madonna at Kiss FM.
All right, what's the magic number where things start to get easier in life? All right, we're relying on some of our older callers, maybe in our late 40s, early 50s. What is that magic number? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Tommy in Calabasas, man. You're on 97.1. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Well, I'm in Studio City now because I'm driving a truck, too, but I'm only gone like 24 hours a day. So,
so what, you just come down the 101 from Calabasas? Now you're down by the 134 split?
I'm right by Haskell and the 405 and that mess.
No, well, you're in Encino.
I'm trying to have fun right now. But anyway, I'm 53 years old, and I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
I just called to say that when people come to the realization that simplicity is where it's at, I had the big house, the cars, the boats, the beautiful girlfriends, money, I had everything.
Right.
And now I have nothing. And what I do every morning is when I wake up, I open my eyes, and I go, woohoo, I got another 24. And that's the way you got to look at it, or you're going to...
Sir, do you really do that?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I live by myself. So I don't have to scare nobody. No cats, no dogs.
Right. How did you lose all your dough?
No.
How'd you lose all your houses and money and cars?
Let's see. My ex-wife, my girlfriend I had a child with. They just turned into beautiful liars in court.
Yeah, well, it sounds like your life is pretty streamlined.
Hey, by the way, when you were married...
Pretty simple.
When you were married, would you wake up and scream, woohoo, I got another 24?
No, I was a jerk.
Yeah.
I was a jerk when I was married. I was young, dumb.
How many kids do you have?
All that, and a slice of pie.
How many kids do you have?
Can't take it.
I have three wonderful children and not a single stretch mark. I have a 30-year-old daughter, a 27-year-old son, and a 12-year-old.
Holy Jesus.
Wow. Now, and obviously all not with the same woman. How many different women?
Well, Jesus. I can't remember how many women, but I've...
No, but how many are women? Oh, Bubba, I'm so exhausted right now. But how many women are did you F and produce embryos that turned into babies and they're walking around now?
Just two.
Okay.
Just two.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Thank you. I gotta go.
Oh my
god. Too irritating.
Oh my god. I've never seen you like that, dude. What was it about him? I felt it too, but. Oh, God, Tim's head is in his hands.
It's just tough talking to people sometimes, you know, when they don't understand what you're saying. But you know what? I understand that dude getting out of, he had a girlfriend, he had a wife, he had two kids with the wife, one with the girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He had the car, the houses, the boat and everything. He got, alimony, child support. He's got all his money going all over the place. Now he doesn't have a dog, a cat, a wife, a girlfriend. He just sits there by himself and he's happier than F.
He drives the truck and listens to us.
Yeah. How do you beat that?
Well, I think driving a truck constantly with only the radio.
How do you beat that?
Mm.
Doesn't that guy have it made?
Well, it might be nice to get laid every once in a while in that truck. You think he gets laid in the truck?
He probably doesn't. He probably lays the truck. He's probably so in love with that truck and that lifestyle he's got going.
You think he licks the steering wheel?
Probably F's that truck. It's right up in front of that radiator.
Oh, really?
Wacko. All right, when does life start to get great again? Does it take buying a new property or selling everything and living in an apartment? You know, I tell you, dude, that is the way to go. Sell everything, get rid of everybody in your life, and get into an apartment.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, dude.
Just shut it down.
I have thought about it because I had a friend of mine say to me very recently, excuse me. Christ, I'm dying. I had a friend of mine say to me very recently, was in my house, and said, you don't want this. I said, what the hell are you talking about? Said, you know, you don't want this. I mean, you're here with the dogs. I said, I love those dogs. I said, I know you love the dogs, but you don't want this. You don't want this house. You don't want a spare bedroom. You don't want that pool out there. You don't want the yard. You don't want this. You'd like an apartment, a nice apartment.
He might be right. How often are you in the pool?
Not a lot.
How many times a year?
For example, last summer, not once.
Me too.
So does that give you an indication?
Yeah, but the biggest waste of money in Southern California is that effing pool.
Right. But
if I had to do it all over again, I would fill that pool with dirt.
Well, you know what?
Put a little pavement over it and put a basketball hoop.
Sean O'Brien, who is my buddy, Porter Ranch Pools, give him a little plug, right? He says, I get so many calls from people who say, get the water out of it, throw cement in it, concrete. I want a lawn. You know, get rid of the pool.
Yeah, they're pain in the ass.
Well, I've had others enjoy the pool. People come over and enjoy the pool. But no, my buddy said to me, just live in an apartment. That's all you do is watch TV. You're on the internet. You eat. You sleep. You'd be fine, you know, in an apartment for $1,500 a month. You'd be as happy.
You deal with the pool guys coming over. He's whacked out.
No, my guy's great.
All on heroin or something.
Get out of here. Mine is terrific.
They're all on meth.
Are you kidding me?
But listen, if you were a pool man, wouldn't you be doing drugs while you're tooling around?
I mentioned mine by name. Could you at least please?
I'm not talking about him.
He's a nice dude. He works hard, too.
But I would say if I was a pool man, I'd be on methamphetamines and cocaine.
At the same, every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you probably get
every
a lot of...
Every orifice of my body. You can't say that?
No, you're not allowed to say that. Didn't you get the handbook?
All right. When does life start getting easier again? According to the study, it's age 50. Is that right? 520-9710, 888-520-9710. It's Conway and Whitman. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Conway and Whitman Show. We're live on 97.1 Free FM. The study here says life gets better at around 44 is the average age where a guy's life is living hell.
Yeah.
And then after 44, it takes off and things start to get better.
Well, you think about it. Everybody dreads, you know, those milestone birthdays. And 50 is the one that everybody gets so crazy about. But after 50, you know, when people turn 60, they just kind of laugh about it because usually they're surrounded by grandkids and they're pretty happy people, you know. It's 50 is what makes guys nuts, I think. And after 50, I think it's just it's a downward, you know, you're sliding down, you're sliding into home. I mean, you don't necessarily feel that way, but, you know, I think you're over age. When you're 50, I don't mean that you're an overage person. In terms of get over it, you know, you've gotten over the issue of age by the time you're 50.
Yeah, but I don't know how the body holds up, you know?
Well, in many cases it doesn't.
I mean, can you imagine you at 55?
No. In 20 years from now?
Yeah.
No way. I'm going to...
Or me at 55?
I'm going to feel like S.
I'm going to be in a wheelchair.
Who told us? Was it you and I were told by the doctor? Somebody told another buddy of... And me, that you don't want to be a man. Dr. Drew told us. Remember when Dr. Drew was in here with us? And he said, you do not want to be a man at 90.
Yeah, between 80 and 90 is a bad decade for men. The body really falls apart.
Right.
But also, Dr. Lamb had a very good point, Dr. Stephen Lamb, that because I was like around 215 at one point. I was really overweight. And he said, you got to lose that weight. He said, when's the last time you saw an 80-year-old guy who's 300 pounds? Mm-hmm.
It's true.
You never do.
Right.
You never see really fat old people.
Yeah, they don't make it.
They check out.
Yeah, well, that's probably what will happen with me.
All right, let's talk to Jerry in Kentucky. Look at this guy, man. Jerry, you're on 97.1 Free FM here in Los Angeles. How are you?
Man, I'm just really feeling bad tonight. So I heard that Whitman is 35.
Yes, I am 35. Why, how old did you think I was, sir?
Oh, Lord. 55, 65?
Is that right?
By sound or appearance?
Honestly. You know, and life experiences that I've heard from you. And I'm 50, getting ready to turn 51, and man, suddenly.
Enjoying yourself, huh?
I feel like a stud, yeah.
Where in Kentucky do you live? Do you have a farm?
No, I do not.
Where do you live?
But I do like the Deliverance music. But I am married. Been married since 21 and getting ready to turn 51. And, you know, there's times I do feel a little sad, but...
Hey, turn your stereo up a little, Jerry. What are you listening to in the background?
Well,
think he dropped the phone.
Yeah, just turn that down a little. All right, so you were saying, I'm sorry?
This is Jerry in Kentucky, not Ned Beatty in Tennessee.
All right, Jerry. Where do you live in the bluegrass, Jerry?
Yes, I do.
Good for you.
Honestly, I do, yeah.
Is it really blue?
It truly is.
All right, buddy. Hey, you're listening online, obviously. Have you ever been to Los Angeles?
No, I have not.
So you've never heard us on this station here in L.A., just the internet?
Well, I actually have a Wi-Fi radio that I listen to you all later at night.
That's pretty cool.
Have you ever been to the Dairy Queen in Danville?
I've never been to Danville.
What part of Kentucky you live in?
I'm country, but I'm not that country. I'm really from Louisville. I'm an Army brat, born in El Paso, Texas.
You ever been to the Derby?
Yes, I have.
How about the Cracker Barrel?
Oh, unfortunately, yes. I have eaten at a Cracker Barrel. Oh, bourbon, not whiskey.
Oh, bourbon, yeah, right.
Rednecks drink whiskey.
What's the bourbon with the red candle wax on? Maker's Mark?
Maker's Mark. Yeah.
That's Kentucky bourbon, right?
Fantastic. Yeah. You have to come.
What's the weather like tonight in Kentucky?
It is colder than hell, but then I was really feeling bad until I heard Whitman, and suddenly it's warmer here.
Okay. Well, All right, buddy. Thank you for calling, man. Keep listening.
I think that was a compliment, so thank you.
There he goes.
I think, you know, what he thought, you know, he heard me, heard how miserable I am, and thought, suddenly felt better about himself. Either way, it's, you know, if this show makes you feel better, then why not?
It's almost like being syndicated, you know?
Yeah, like, how in the world?
People listening around the world.
Like, I can't believe he got us on FM in Kentucky. Now, some AM stations, that I would believe. When I used to work back in New York. You want to hear a little bit about my radio career?
Well, let's go to break, and I'll listen to it during the break.
Well, no, I just wanted to tell you, you know.
Okay.
When I was back in New York on WABC AM, at night, like at this time of the evening, you would reach 38 states, but not on FM. You know, I've never heard of an FM station, but I think he said he has a special radio. And then I left there and I came in, to L.A. I was working with Rick Dees and did that for a number of years. And then Ryan Seacrest worked with him. And then I came here with you, Tim, and I've just been I do a lot of voices and impressions and stuff like that.